Okay, it's episode 26 of the English podcast. I'm unnecessarily dressed up because I've been working on my final deal terms, payments, completion day, testimonials for my business, and my life has completely changed course over the last few days. Roll the intro.
I'm Greek Australian. That's why I look like this, but I sound like this.
So yeah, what can I tell you, dog? It's been a wild ride these last couple months. I've been pretty open about my difficulties when it comes to how sick I've been. Oh, that feels good. I've been very sick, and I've been cash poor, which if someone told me when I was broke and poor and had nothing to my name and just debt and taxes, I told them to go fuck themselves. But now that I have assets and I was cash poor, I was sad about it because it was happening to me. but I was also sick. But that is the nature of my business. So this podcast, I realize, you know, okay, over the last year, on the interwebs, more people have started to follow me than ever followed me. So more people who follow me don't know what the fuck I do than those who do, and that's just who follow me, let alone most of the world. They don't. So I'm going to tell you a bit about my story. I've got an hour to kill. I haven't slept in about 2-3 days. So I'm off that like weird high of no sleep. And I have a call in an hour. So let's fill an hour. Fuck it, right? Chuck those headphones in and let's get stuck in to my story. I'm going to try and be as honest and transparent as possible and not distracted by my laptop. But yeah, this is my story as I see it, right? I'm turning 27 in, let's call it exactly 21 days. And look, I'm an entrepreneur. Identity is always something we talk about on this channel and on this podcast, but I am an entrepreneur first and foremost. And I have a fucking chip on my shoulder. So let's start from the beginning. I'm going to try not make it tedious to listen to this. But, you know. Where can we start that's not tedious? So, yeah, I was born in Australia. When I was a kid, my parents weren't rich. Just middle class, lived in the suburbs, south of Sydney. Not really near any family. I had a cousin nearby who talked to me once a year. Their family definitely thought, they didn't want really be friends. My first cousin, same age, we hung out once or twice a year. And that plus everything else in my family, which is important background because it shaped who I am. And quite frankly, I don't give a fuck what they think because they've never done anything for me except bad things that make me feel horrible. So let's talk about the Farduli. So my mom's side is called Farduli and they all come from Kithira. There's my little Venetian map of Kithira. Kithira is an interesting place to be from. And both my parents are from Kithira. My dad's from Port Amor. My mom's from Ayipaliya. To know my story and to understand who I am and why I am the way I am, you got to understand Kithira. Now, Kithirians were the first Kithirians were the first non-white people, kinda, to go to Australia. In between the in the interwar period, Australia had a white Australia policy. Only white Aussies could go there. You got to be Scottish, Irish, English, German, whatever, French, Scandinavian. And they expanded that in the interwar period to include Italians and Greeks. I think it was after World War II. But a few Catharians snuck through. Like my grandfather, Yorgos Fardoulis. That's where I get my name. And in 1939, he moved at 14 years old to Sydney. To Hay, actually, in the middle of fucking nowhere. Didn't know English, nothing at all. And eventually he built himself up, started a few small businesses, fish shop, a milk bar, and eventually, you know, grew up, brought his seven brothers and sisters from Greece, helped sponsor their visa, gave, you know, helped them to get somewhere to live, jobs, meet people, etc. Now, George Fardoulis is a man I've never met. I never met any of my grandparents because they all died before my parents were like 10. So I grew up with him as this figure and only hearing stories from family that doesn't really give a shit about me and my, with extended family that doesn't really give a shit about me and my family. So to hear stories was pretty rare. But there were stories, and the man was just a kirio. He was just a gentleman. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of his word. And for me, that's where I start my identity. You know, to jump forward to today, as a, like a short flash forward, I have a business where I help people buy and sell businesses. And if you ask me why I do it better than everyone else and why I'm the best in the world at it, it's because I'm a man of integrity. When I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I fight for you when I fight for you. And even a buyer who's on the other side of the table, a seller who's on the other side of the table that I'm negotiating against, I have almost always still been on good terms with them, even though I'll break their balls and I'll push them to the point where they might feel like, you know, they wish they had me on their side, right? And that's exactly what happened with this deal. Another massive deal where I fought tooth and nail for my client. And we had an amazing result. You know, it has and will change his life and his family's life. And that's because I kept my word. I said, you want X amount, I will get you X amount, even though it's wildly difficult and probably impossible. We got the job done. So anyway, my grandfather gets married late to another lady from Kithira. My grandmother, Maria, who also died early. And then they have two kids. My mom was the second child. And then the mother dies. And then a year or two later, the father dies, George. So there's two orphans now. And they're surrounded, you know, they all live in a little suburb in Australia, surrounded by cousins and uncles and aunts. But as my mother said, no one is going to care about you more than their own kids. Just a reality. It can be nice, they can do this, they can do that. But ain't nobody going to care about you more than their own bloody kids. And it's facts. Now, those seven brothers and sisters, I can't tell you their net worth or some of the richest ones, their net worth, but to say I can guess pretty well. I mean, my job is to guess how wealthy buyers and sellers are, right? Just by the look of them, because I've looked at so many businesses. So if I look at the businesses that some of the brothers and sisters of my papu, of my grandfather, and their kids and their kids' kids, I can tell you there's two guys with at least 100 mil, up to half a bill, right? And they'll have good jobs, the ones who aren't even that rich, and they have social, they're socially respected, doctors, lawyers, whatever the fuck. Now, me growing up, my dad was a farmer in Greece and then he went and became a forklift driver in Australia. My mom worked in an accounting firm and you know, worked at the airport. Middle class jobs. But we didn't live anywhere near this wealthy, prestigious part of the family. We maybe saw them once, twice a year, and they could give a fuck. But when I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do was, I was just curious, you know, I was curious about learning. I would go to the school library, borrow 2 books a week because that was the maximum. My mum would take me to the Southgate shopping mall, and underneath in the car park, there was a library. I'd borrow 2 books there too, or however many I could. War, history, just whatever. I was just a curious kid. Curious George. And I think when I was, would have been 7 or 8 years old. I don't know the age of young people because I don't know any young people. But you look at stories in your history, in your past, and you connect the dots looking back. It's very easy to connect the dots looking back. And I used to go swimming every morning. And my mom used to take me swimming from like 5 to like 7, and she'd pick me up at 9. There'd be like some time gap. And all the other kids would be picked up, and I would ask the owner of the pool, the training pool, if I picked up all the rubbish that was left around from the swimming carnivals and bullshit around the pool, could you give me $2? It's like, yeah, go on. Now, for me, I asked him that out of my own, you know, stupid kid head, because my friends, Tim, Nathan, and Jack Ford, they would go to the canteen, they'd have money from their parents. My parents told me to fuck myself. And thank God they did, because that spurred something in me that is the healthiest thing, which is, it ain't yours unless you work for it. It's not really yours unless you work for it. It ain't really, though, is it? Unless you work for it. So, yeah, I picked up the rubbish and got some coins and spent it at the owner's canteen and cafe world, fuck. Anyway, so, you know, he got his money back. But, I don't know, you know, you look back at that story and you say, well, maybe this kid had entrepreneurial spirit, you know. Maybe it was out of, not necessity, out of desire, right? But, you know, I remember some other events when I was young that kind of got me on track to becoming who I am. I went to my Uncle Victor. I'm not going to say his last name because it's probably pretty obvious. But he's probably like minimum worth like 100, 200, 300 mil. Up to a bill, if not more. I don't fucking know. But he's fucking rich. He went to my high school and he's a figure. You know, he's a character. And I was at his house when I was a kid. Easter, New Year's, Christmas. Everyone talks shit about him, but at the end of the day, he's always done right by me personally. Hasn't done right by my mom and his mom, but he ain't done nothing shit bad to me. Well, anytime I asked for advice or a cafe, he said yes. And when I went to his house, I would have been very young, and I just remember conceptualizing why his house would have been, I don't know, $50 million house with a view of the Sydney Harbour. Why his house was so warm and full of people, which was, you know, it was an event, but massive and grandiose and with a pool and with a view of Sydney Harbour and the sunset, and why my house wasn't like that. And I think I connected wealth with the warmth of the house. But I just, I'm like, I don't know what this guy has, but I'll fucking want it. When I was like year 7, year 8, so I don't know, what's that, 13, 14 sounds about right. I went to Noosa with my mom, Noosa, not Nusa, in New South Wales, I think. Just me and her. My family by then started to break apart. And it was raining all the time. It's a beach place, and it was just raining all the time. And I just found a YouTube channel Bloomberg Game Changers. Holy shit, I can't believe I remember. Bloomberg Game Changers. And it just went through like Larry Ellison, Sergey Brin, Zuckerberg, all these guys who are just beasts of, you know, game changers, really. And I really like Larry Ellison of all the characters because he's just a salesperson. I didn't know that I was a salesperson then. I think I just started my little Facebook groups and marketing agency bullshit on the internet. But it was around Christmas, and I was like, it was around Christmas because it was around my mother's birthday. I was like, I don't know what these guys do, but I fucking think I want to do it. Larry Ellison is a modern day conqueror. The power he wields in data storage, contracts with the US government and army, he's a nation of his own, right? And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be powerful and have money and shit like that. And anyway, then I read, you know, Gary Vee's book, Crushing It, and 4-Hour Work Week, and Think and Grow Rich, and I dived into self-help and business books, and I kicked off there, and then started internet businesses. So there's so many ones that failed. I honestly couldn't remember them if I tried. So I'll tell you the ones that did work to some degree, because fuck, there's so many that didn't work. But just so you know, it's like so many that didn't work. Around 13, because then I remember it was around 13 years old, because 9 months, 10 months is when I started to work at McDonald's. And I immediately was playing Minecraft every time I got home. And I would look at memes on 9gag.com or Memebase, I can't even remember. Eventually, I just started creating Facebook groups because I'm like, I'm looking at memes all day. I share these with my friends. Why don't I just create a Facebook group with all the students in my year and they look at memes? And I kicked off classes, whatever, 2013, 14, 15, created groups for Facebook groups for each class, each year, out of my friends, out of their friends, blah, 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 blah. Just sharing memes, sometimes resources, educational. And it went from there. And eventually I was like, I think I could monetize this. And then I messaged a couple Facebook tutoring companies. And one of the first ones I messaged was Art of Smart, Rowan Kunz. And he called me. And I was like 14, whatever, 13. So I'd be on the phone, hey, hi, I'm George Moores. He's like, and he called anyway. I picked up on a Saturday or Sunday. He goes, let's have a meeting next week. I'm like, ooh, I got high school. Anyway, so we became lifelong friends. Well, he became my mentor. And I spoke to him just the other day still. Man, he's helped me immensely. He's like a father to me. And then, yeah, Facebook groups kind of ticked off, making a couple bucks here or there from affiliate sales to tutoring companies, holiday companies like spring break companies. And then I started marketing agency because some of those clients that I was doing affiliate marketing for wanted proper marketing. And it kind of kicked off from there. So that was the marketing agency, which eventually I would sell, and got into the business of selling my own businesses. And the people in Sydney and Australia in the marketing world were like, hey, can you sell this? Can you sell that? A domain here, Instagram page here, Facebook page here, YouTube channel there, blah, 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 blah. And it started off with very small businesses, 5K, 10K, 20K, bullshit. If I'm making 10, 15%, that ain't nothing. So I had a lot of deals, and it was never, it wasn't enough to call, just do the one, let's call it brokerage business of online assets, right? So I had my marketing agency, I was ticking along there, having good months, bad months, broke months, rich months, bullshit, early on bullshit. And I finished high school. But during the last year of high school, I left home because my family fell apart in a dramatic, violent way. And I was forced out by circumstances. And I lived in my car for a bit because of brokenness. And I crashed my car, lost my license, all within a month or two. And eventually that anxiety attack, which definitely was a PTSD traumatic moment, would like be this weird recurring event in my life where I would stress myself out money-wise in the course of trying to make a lot of money, you know, entrepreneurship, but I would get better at handling it. But it would still hurt like a bitch. And eventually I left Australia. I'd given up on entrepreneurship once or twice, got jobs, got fired because I started another business during the job. But I'm glazing over a lot of stuff here, mind you. But I realized at some point in 2019 that I can't have seven businesses and all of them be shit. I had HGC Notes, which was a digital product educational business selling PDF notes. I had the marketing agency, which on and off worked. I with real estate clients. I had Shopify brand, and then also e-commerce, a brokerage under the name e-commerce brokers, because I couldn't think of any creative name, so I just called it, well, I'm brokering e-commerce businesses, might as well call it e-commerce brokers, which it's still called today. And I said, you know what, let me sell everything that I haven't sold already of mine, keep selling other people's stuff, but you know what, no more small deals. I can't be doing 100 deals a year, making $500 to $100 to $3,000-$4,000 and not sleeping and just being anxiety ridden. And I'm, you know, if I win, I want to win, you know, I don't want to win in the entrepreneurship game. And now I'm stuck with a business that kills me. Right. A lot of people get a great business and they work more hours than if they went and got a job. I don't want that type of business. I want a business where if I win, I win big, I have plenty of time, I have plenty of money, and I'd help, maybe even power. And so I said, you know what, I'm only going to do deals with, you know, a certain minimum threshold of net profit. Eventually it was like 10K, or then it was 50, then 100K net profit, etc. And over the years, in 2019, I moved permanently to not Australia, just traveling the world with Greece as a bit of a base that I didn't know eventually it would be, but it was. 2020, I saw some real success with focusing on e-commerce brokers, selling online businesses, helping people buy. And only until March 24th, 2023, did I make any money. I was broke again. 2021 was a horrible year. I was massively broke, in debt to my friends, in taxes I owed. Dramatic. The anxiety through the roof, sick, robbed three times, just fucking insane. 2022 was a recovery year, and then 23 and 24, I killed it. And I'm happy to report now that the same way I killed it in those years, which was by closing one massive deal that overshadows all else, that is what has happened in the last few days. And it's bigger than all of my deals put together. And I don't know how to feel about it. I'm happy. I'm tired. I haven't slept in days. And this time they took my health from under me. I was sick in the last 6-7 months while going through this stressful period. And to win so overwhelmingly much and hard, it's really quite hard to, as a human, to fathom. From having to borrow $1,000 from here, there, that friend, this friend, that friend, and worrying at that degree, and then making such a large sum of money, you can't comprehend that. I know I have my face and my name too many times on the wall already, but I would love to put one more plaque that has my invoice of, let's call it a mid six-figure range, next to the $5.08, or was it $8.40 in Australia, AUD, which comes out to like $5 American, that I got as my first legal paycheck from McDonald's. From $5 an hour to like a nice beefy mid six-figure check. It's hard to fathom the time that kid would have had to work. I mean, you can't fathom, it's just a calculation. But it's like, it's been a long battle. It's like after a long battle, you're relieved it's over. You're like, what do I do now? It's like when you see a really good TV show that's long and you'll feel empty after. Like, I'm so glad, you know, I saw it to the end, I did it, but what's next? And it's like that song, Drake, What's Next? That's why I think I like it so much. I don't think it's actually a good song. It just reminds me of new beginnings, which is where we're at. New beginnings. I'm trying to start a new business, a media business. And I want to monetize. I want it to grow. I want it to be something extraordinary, which is what my e-commerce broker's business is. That's a business that I started in my childhood bedroom. Well, I was 13 years old. I'm 27 now, 14 years ago. And it's bought me this apartment. It's bought me many other things. It's bought me a life of travel and freedom and lifestyle, meeting awesome people, doing content. All this come from this business that I started as a little trading domain thing on the side of my McDonald's business, my McDonald's job. I'm like ridiculously grateful to my mentors and to my business and to, honestly, this might sound stupid, but America, because America is where all my clients are, and it's that their system of capitalism and openness and all the methods that we use for my industry that allows all this and that's made all this. So in many ways, I'm Australian. In many ways, I'm even more Greek. But in many ways, I'm fucking American, man. I am like so American, you don't even know. But I'm also just grateful to myself because I'm a stubborn prick and I don't give up, even though I probably should. I don't know. But yeah, in many ways, I feel like I'm exhausted and I'm tired. I've done more years of entrepreneurship than most 40, 50-year-old entrepreneurs. But in many ways, I also think it's just the beginning. There's a lot more that I want to do. And I'm knackered and tired in many ways. Like, literally, I just need actually, like, a good 12-hour sleep. But also, like, life tired. I need a bit of peace in my life. There's been a lot of turbulence over the last 10 years. And I would love to go to my island where it all began, of Kithira, go to my farm, tend to my olives, build up the walls, clean it, build a house, sit on the porch, and watch the sunset on a grateful universe. And that's all for today, guys. I'm knackered. I can't do any more.